Okay, everybody gather round. It's time for the Big Ten Hoedown. Kick out your heels, jump up and down. Shut your eyes and whirl around. Reach out your hand and if no one's there, grab your own hand, dance round in a square.
When you're doing the Big Ten Hoedown, gotta have a collar you can trust.
All right. That can mean one thing and one thing only. Time for the pig pen.
Yes. Hello, gents.
Hello, pig pen.
You get the cool one, the snake pit.
Mm-hmm.
I get the pig pen.
That's your own fault.
All right. So the year 2018, something came onto the scene and exploded like we have never seen before. And if you're listening to this program right now, or you are in ear and or eye shot of me, it has affected all of us, and it affects all of us on a daily basis, multiple times daily. Let's play clip one to reveal what that is.
The plague of robocalls is getting worse. They're the number one consumer complaint to the Federal Communications Commission, which receives more than 200,000 protests a year. Robocalls make up roughly 60% of all complaints to the FCC.
Yes, we are talking about spam phone calls, robocalls. The times when you look at your phone multiple times a day, of an unknown number in a location that you've never been to, nor do you know anyone from, that you politely just click end call and do not accept.
Do you ever answer them?
I have a couple of times because they've fooled me. And before we get to that, let's go over a couple of stats to see what happened and why these...
Yeah, because I don't even know how they came about.
Why these things blew up in 2018. In 2017, there were 30 billion robocalls made overall in the United States. In 2018, that number went up to 48 billion. That's a 57% increase. And in this year, 2019, that number is set to possibly double, definitely to 70 billion, possibly to 100 billion robocalls a year. Now, if you want to break that down, I did a little arithmetic. Right now, there's about 325 million people in the United States. And if you divide that by the number of robocalls or into the number of robocalls, that is 147 calls a year per person in the United States, not counting people that don't have phones and counting people that don't have phones and counting people that are not even old enough to have phones.
Okay, so do you guys get more? Because I know the answer to this for me. Do you receive more phone calls from robots or people that you know?
It is 100 to 1.
It is.
Actual phone calls. Robocalls last year made up for, I believe, 60% of total calls made on networks in the United States.
Are you that way too?
6 out of 10 phone calls that are made in the U.S. are robots.
Probably out of every 10 phone calls I get, I'm probably right about at that average. 6 of them will be robots.
Yeah.
So 6 out of 10?
Do you look at the number and just say no? Do you ever answer?
Occasionally I'll answer just to see what's up, you know, just for fun.
Now, if you want to break these... But, go ahead, sorry.
You know, I stay on there for long enough to determine that that's what it is,
right,
and then get out of there.
Now, granted, some robocalls are useful. Sometimes you can get a payment reminder for a bill. You can get a reminder for a haircut appointment or some other appointment, a doctor's appointment that
you may have made.
They can be very useful, but the percentage of total robocalls that are useful are very, very small. They broke it down of the ones in 2018, and as far as alerts and reminders, that only made up 21% of robocalls. Payment reminders made up 23%. Now, telemarketing, you would think people trying to sell you something on the up and up would be a high number. It came in the lowest at 19%. The highest percentage of robocalls made in the United States is at 37%, and what do you think that is?
I don't even know.
Scams.
Okay, because midgets. There are... So I don't answer.
Right.
And I haven't for years. But the only times that I have answered, typically it takes 3 seconds for anything to start happening.
Mm-hmm.
on the other end, and I hang up before it gets to that point.
Right.
But you're saying that those 37%, it will be like people will wait on the phone long enough to hear, you know, hello, who is this? Come on, talk to me.
Let's get to that.
Okay.
And the way they do that is a method called spoofing. Now, I was watching John Oliver a couple of weeks ago, and he did a segment on this and referenced specifically spoofing. And what spoofing is when a person or a piece of software can clone your contact information. Say maybe the IRS. Say maybe it's me calling you, and you'll get a phone call, and it'll say it's coming from Dingu, but it's not really me on the other end. It's not coming from my phone. It's coming from another phone, acting as an imposter using me as their disguise. And this is how they explained it on John Oliver, how this works, and gave an example of a guy that cloned his buddy's contact information and called his buddy's mom and see what he was able to get out of her.
Spoofing is undeniably effective. Robocallers can pretend to be calling from your area, increasing the chance that you will pick up. And individual scammers can even pretend to be someone that you know, as one reporter found out.
Cybersecurity expert Jim Stickley sets up his phone to call my mom, posing as me.
Here we go.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, Mom, real quick, I need your social security number. I'm filling out some beneficiary forms. Can you help me out real quick?
What?
I've got this beneficiary form. I just need to fill it out. What's your social security number real fast? Great. Thanks a lot, Mom. Love you.
That was it.
That's it. I've got a social security number.
Wow.
That fast. Because she thought it was her son. And, hey, I'm filling out these beneficiary forms, Mom.
Real quick.
And that's all it took.
Was that his voice and everything?
No, that was his buddy.
That was his buddy that did it as an imposter of him. And the guy was blown away. He's like, oh my God, that took no effort at all. And the thing that John Oliver was referencing early in that soundbite was they have the ability to represent that these calls are coming from your city. Now, how many times do you get a call from a 280 number, which happens to be my prefix on my phone, in Grand Prairie?
All the time. Yes, I'm 289. That's where they come from.
Yes.
Why Grand Prairie?
To make it appear that they're close to you, so you'll pick up, assuming it's someone that you know in your city.
But why would they?
Someone's trying to reach you from Grand Prairie or Dallas or Richardson.
Why do
or
they pull the prefix scam? Like
familiarity,
because is that you have to get that. We all do. We get it's always the prefix.
Yeah. You want to get scary on this thing?
Yeah.
Have you ever received a phone call that sounds like a real person and responds to you? It takes your responses and customizes their response to reply to you, but it's not real. Have you ever experienced
that? I've not
gone
that far.
I haven't either.
Rob.
Okay. I haven't either, but this.
It's like Danny questions.
But this is an actual, real life sounding robocall, but the person on the other end, it's computer generated. Tell me if you can tell the difference.
Well, I'm calling about an online request you once made about health insurance coverage.
Okay.
I work with all major companies and compare.
Hey, are you a robot?
What? No, I am a real person. Maybe we have a bad connection. I'm sorry about that.
Will you tell me you're not a robot? Just say I'm not a robot, please.
I am a real person.
I mean, I believe you, but will you just say I'm not a robot? It'll make me feel better to hear you say it.
There is a live person here.
If you could say the words, I'm not a robot, it would really mean a lot to me.
I am a real person. Can you hear me okay?
Right, but will you say I'm not a robot?
What you have there is a pre-recorded, a woman that pre-recorded all of these responses, and they were placed into a data bank to where the appropriate ones were used to answer the questions that you asked.
Yeah.
And the computers are that smart. It sounds like a real conversation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, I've never run across that, but I have heard about that.
So essentially, God, if it was Chansey, how great would that be? So anyway, you're probably asking yourself on how you can stop these. Let's say you are getting calls, sales calls from whatever bank that you're a part of, and you're just like, okay, no, I don't want to
Deutsche
refinance
Bank.
My house. Or, Deutsche Bank. Listen to the hoops you have to jump through, as John Oliver explains from his show a couple of weeks ago on how to get out from under these robocalls.
What can we do about this? Well, on a personal level, you can tell individual companies you do business with not to call you. By law, they're actually not allowed to robocall your cell without consent. But that is where this gets tricky. Because those user agreements that you agreed to, you know, the ones that no one has ever read, they often give companies consent to robocall you and can make revoking it incredibly difficult. For instance, if you're a customer of Credit One Bank and you want them to stop robocalling your cell, just take out your user agreement and turn to page 4, section 19C, where you'll find that you have to physically mail them written notice featuring your name, mailing address, and the last 4 digits of your account number to this P.O. box in Nevada. And it makes total sense why you would opt not to do that. I would rather receive 1,000 phone calls a day, every day, for the rest of my life than go out and buy a stamp.
So even if you want out of these, which you signed up for, because when you do your whole bank thing and you're going through your documents and it scrolls down, it says click here to say that you've read it and you agree to the terms. Well, in those terms, you agree to them robocalling you.
God,
and if you want to get out of it, then this is one scenario where they make it very, very difficult.
I just want to know the people, persons who are actually answering this that make this worthwhile.
It's phishing, man. All it takes is one out of 10,000, and who knows how much money they can make off that one person's social security number, stealing their identity, getting access to their bank accounts, their credit card numbers. It's all it takes is one out of 10,000. And unfortunately, it's more often than not,
it's the elderly.
Yeah.
Or if you don't know the number, don't pick up.
That's the main thing you can do that they talked about. The way to avoid this is if it's not in your contact, don't answer it.
No. Yeah. And if they leave a message, then they leave a message.
And if they don't, they don't. And
right.
99 times out of 100, they don't leave a message.
You know, I hung up twice yesterday on my kid calling from school.
Yeah.
Like, the phone rang. I hit decline immediately.
Yeah.
The phone rang with the same number again, and I'm like, oh, really? You think this is going to work, you know? And I didn't answer it. And then I come home, and he's like, I tried to call you twice today.
Yeah, from what?
I was like, what? I don't have your school number plugged in there, you know? But that's how I won't answer any number that I don't know.
That's what they recommend, is just don't answer the phone.
Yeah.
And if you feel suspicious at all when you do pick up the phone and you feel comfortable with the number, even though you may not know it, hang up.
That's why you got to get your voicemail set up. I know it's popular with people my age to just not have voicemail. But if there's a number I don't see, I'm not answering it. And if they leave me a message and it's someone that needs to get in contact with me, I'll call them back.
That's a good way to handle it, too.
All right.
Good stuff, Pigpen.
The Pigpen for week 3.
Good stuff, Pigpen.
Up next, we'll find out how Monty handles these things. We're continuing.